Good morning to all. It is truly good again to see everyone out this morning and certainly to have this opportunity to share with you all from the Word of God. And this morning I want to take a look over in Matthew chapter 5. We'll be taking a look at the parable of the talents. But before doing that, I want us to consider whether or not we're truly faithful in the responsibility that we have in term of reaching the lost. Consider whether or not we are truly faithful in our responsibility in terms of reaching the lost. I was looking online as I was preparing for my lesson this morning here, and I found this report from the U.S. Department of Labor. And it was talking about certain activities that we perform on a daily basis. And it kind of tracked these activities. And it stated throughout a 24-hour day that, you know, in terms of our personal care activities, we, and this included sleeping, that, you know, it took about nine and a half hours, give or take, on a daily basis, we applied to that. And that makes sense, in a sense, considering that 8+ hours of that went to sleeping. Another large portion went to working. For some reason, it says just shy of 5 hours. Most of us work at least an 8-hour workday, so I don't necessarily know how that goes, but okay. And this does encompass all Americans. And then it went down. So that those two together, you know, you're talking about a little bit over 60%. But afterwards, you know, the numbers started to go down pretty good. The next largest number was for leisure and sports. So usually when we get off from work, we come back to the house, most of us perhaps catch some TV or we do something that's very relaxing to us. And this encompasses at least another good quarter of that time. But as you go down that list, religious and spiritual activities, it's stated that on average, Americans spend less than 10 minutes a day on religious and spiritual activities. And when you kind of go across the board here that they have set up, that's 10 minutes a day or less than 10 minutes a day on spiritual activities. And out of all Americans, considering the fact that approximately 65% of Americans identify themselves as Christians, it states that approximately 7.5% of Americans actually do some type of studying, some religious activity on a daily basis. 7.5%. And over the weekends, it's stated approximately 15%. And most of that would probably be on Sunday when people are at least coming to worship somewhere. Now, it also stated, as you go across this list, it kind of stated in terms of actual hours of those individuals, of that 7.5% that actually engage in some religious activity on a daily basis. On a daily basis for those individuals, it came down to maybe about an hour. So it came down to about an hour on a daily basis, that 7.5% of individuals would actually do some type of religious activity on a daily basis. And this includes praying. It could include your Wednesday night Bible study. It includes many things, those things that we would consider to be worship. And again, you know, the point that I wanted to make here is, you know, you begin to think about it. You would imagine it would be a pretty important thing to learn about the God that created us, that it would be a pretty important thing to understand this God who sent his only begotten son to this earth to die for our sins. You would think it would be a pretty important thing to understand those things. You know, you would also think that it would be a pretty important thing if we are to truly understand, if we want to truly understand the will of God, it would probably be a pretty important thing to open up the Bible and to begin to read and to learn and grow closer and closer to that God. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We see Peter encouraging Christians to be steadfast. And this verse, it reads as follows. And again, that's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It reads as follows. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, how can you know what the will of God is if we're not making time, if we're not putting forth that effort to actually getting to know who he is? For those of us who are Christians, consider that we too also have a responsibility to our Lord and Savior. We have a responsibility. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll take a look at verses 18 through 20. And we see this great commission here. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And those verses read, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so again, I'm going to pose this question to you. I'll ask another question here. How faithful are we in regards to doing the will of God? How faithful are we in regards to living up to that responsibility that we have in terms of reaching the lost? In discussing this topic this morning, I want to take a look at one of the parables that we see over in Matthew chapter 25. And again, this will be the parable of the talents. Some background information here, as we look through Matthew chapter 24 and 25, we see that Jesus is speaking to his apostles in regards to the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem. And in doing so, he provides several parables, parables that emphasize the importance of readiness. And these parables themselves, they also serve as a transition from Jesus' discussion of this topic of the destruction of Jerusalem to also talking about judgment on the world. So these parables themselves, they can be equally applied to both realms here, certainly to what would have been a future event for that time frame, which is now a historical event, the destruction of Jerusalem that took place in 70 AD. But certainly, you consider these parables and note how they also tie to us today and how they're just as relevant to us today. The principles that we see in these parables, again, can be equally applied. And this first parable found over in Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 51. Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 through 51. We see a servant who works faithfully, even when his master is not around. He continues to do the things that he knows that he is responsible for. So he's faithful in his actions. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 reads as follows. "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God." Consider that this servant was faithful, and because of this, everything was in order when his master returned. And because of this faithfulness, he is rewarded for it. Consider the second servant mentioned in this parable, the one who is not faithful. When his master departs, we see that this servant, he literally does nothing. And not only is he not being faithful, he also treats his fellow servants wrongly. As a disciple of Christ, consider the judgment we bring upon ourselves for unfaithfulness. If you consider the second of these parables, which was the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins here, We see a parable that reinforces the need for us to be ready for the Lord's return. This parable emphasizes watchfulness and the need for us to take the appropriate actions, the appropriate steps, measures, in order to prepare for the Lord's return. And while this particular parable stresses the importance of watchfulness, the parable of the talents is one that tells us that we should not be idly waiting for the Lord's return. We should be very active while we're here on this earth. We should be actively producing for the Lord. So if you will, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll take a look at this parable of the talents. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and we'll read these verses. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Those verses read as follow. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who received 5 talents came and brought him 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to one. Give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you consider the Lord of a household was leaving for a period of time, he would have called his servants to him. And in calling his servants to him, he would have distributed to them his wealth. He would have distributed to them responsibilities. So we see in this particular parable that each one of these servants received a talent. They receive a talent, this talent itself being money. They received this talent, and it was based off of their abilities, the abilities that they had. So in this sense, talent itself is not the usual sense of talent as we think of it nowadays in terms of skills and things of that nature. Instead, it does literally represents money. And of course, this money itself, depending on whether it was gold or silver, with value or with vary in value. So again, these talents represents responsibilities that each servant had to his master. When a lord went away for a while, for a period of time, when a lord of a household went away, business at his household did not stop. He fully expected his servants to continue to produce for him. So each one of these servants that received a talent, that was their responsibility to produce for their master. Consider the parable of the sower. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 13 here. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to take a look at verse 8, and then we're going to go down to verse 23. Matthew chapter 13, we'll take a look at verse 8, and then verse 23. Verse 8 reads as follows, and this is the parable of the sower itself. Verse 8 reads, "But others, being seeds, fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you skip down to verse 23 here, in verse 23 we read, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understand it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you consider how the seed itself, and we know that the seed itself is the word of God, and how it falls upon different soils, that is, of course, we know there will be varying reactions itself to the word of God. That good and noble heart may take the word of God and produce plenty with it. But notice how some may produce 30-fold, some may produce 60-fold, some may produce 100-fold. Again, consider, we won't all produce the exact same thing. And again, consider that our Lord, in his wisdom, distributes responsibilities to us based upon the abilities that we currently possess. Based upon what we possess in terms of our abilities. And so it is with the parable of the talent. Each servant had a different amount of responsibility assigned to them based upon their abilities." Notice even today that Christ, again, does not assign everyone the same amount of responsibilities. Jesus certainly knows that we all have different abilities and different personalities. What he does expect from us, from each and every one of us, is that we take full advantage of all the opportunities that come our way. Notice, just like each one of these servants receives some level of responsibility, each one of us who are disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, we also have responsibilities that we will be held accountable for. Consider what happened with these servants. In verse 19, turning back over to Matthew chapter 25 here. In verse 19, we read that after a period of time, the master does return, and he calls his servants to account for themselves. In some versions, you'll see that term reckon, and you think back to the fact that Matthew himself was a tax collector. He was a tax collector, so he uses this accounting term, reckon, which means to settle accounts. So, you begin to think about this, and the thing about this is whatever increase these servants produce from investing their master's money, whatever increase they produce from investing their master money, it was fully expected of them. They didn't go above and beyond. They didn't do anything special. They simply did what they were supposed to be doing. They were faithful to the responsibilities that they had. So for them, it was fully expected of them to increase their master's wealth. So we see two servants who were faithful in their duties, and they were rewarded for their efforts. Despite the fact that these servants had different amounts of talents or responsibilities, again, one servant received 5, one servant received 2. Again, the simple fact is, we know that this was based upon the abilities that they possess. But the thing that I wanted to make, or the point that I wanted to get across here, is that both of these servants were faithful in fulfilling their responsibilities. Both of them were faithful in fulfilling their responsibilities. And we see that they're both rewarded for their efforts. We see that this last servant, however, is unfaithful in his efforts. And he takes his master money, and we read that he hid it. And he hid it because he was afraid that he might lose it. And it even appears that he blames his master for his lack of inactivity. He states that his master is a hard man. So he didn't want to lose it, and he wanted to make sure he at least returned to his master what was his. I want you to consider that this man himself, and sometimes, you know, we ourselves might not necessarily go out with the intent to do anything wrong. But think about this individual. He simply didn't do anything whatsoever. He didn't do anything. And he didn't do anything because he didn't want to fail. Consider for a moment whether we fail to faithfully discharge our duties, to live up to these responsibilities that we have as Christians who should be sowing the seed of the kingdom. And consider whether or not we do so, if we fail, because we're simply afraid of being told no, or, again, if we're afraid just simply to fail, period. Again, keeping in mind, our goal is to sow the seed. Now, whether that heart that we sow the seed in receives the word and responds to it appropriately, that's upon that individual. Our goal is to simply sow the seed. Now, think about, do we take full advantage of the numerous opportunities that we may have on a daily basis to spread the gospel? Do we take advantage of the numerous opportunities that we have on a daily basis to let our light shine throughout this world, to let our light shine, to bring honor to our God in heaven? If this servant himself really felt that his master was a hard man, and, you know, you think about this, if he felt that he was a hard man, chances are he probably would have really started doing what he needed to do. Because I know if I'm working for someone that's extremely difficult, extremely tough, then chances are I'm going to try to do my best I can do to make sure I'm pleasing that individual. So if he really felt that his master was a hard man, you would think that he would put forth some effort and do some work. And sometimes we ourselves tend to take God's goodness for granted. And, you know, the master points out that the servant could have easily put this money in the bank and at a minimum drew interest on it. That didn't take no effort whatsoever. That would have been simple to do. Could have at least, at a minimum, put this money in the bank and drew interest from it. I want you to consider what even the small things that we as Christians can do. Think about those small things that we as Christians can do, especially if we feel that we don't have certain abilities to perhaps do something within a public setting. If we don't feel that we're ready to do things at that level, think about those small things that we can do that are, again, very small in nature, but at the same time, again, bring forth honor and glory to God. Let's go over a few verses to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to take a look at verses 35 through 40. Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. And those verses read as follow. If I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. And this is Jesus talking about judgment on the world. If I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Back in this first century Palestine, there was a lot of poverty, there was a lot of sickness, there was a lot of homelessness. But I want you to consider the many things, the small things in nature that we can do that, again, bring honor to God. Think about those small things that we can do, such as visiting, especially those of the household of faith, those who might be sick, those who might be shut in. Think about our opportunity to help those of the household of faith. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. And Paul writes, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So certainly we have an opportunity to do good to all men, but especially our brethren, those in Christ as well. And, you know, again, think about the fact that this is something very small in nature, something that we might not even think about, something that we can easily do. And again, living up to that responsibility. Even these small things bring honor to God. And some of these are small things, again, that we don't even think twice about. Just like this servant, you consider this servant back in the parable of the talents here. Consider this servant if he had just simply taken that one talent to the bank and if he had just let it draw interest. Again, that is something that we can do without even thinking about. He could have done this and just simply took care of this. And you think about it, he would have still been fulfilling his responsibility to his master. His responsibility to his master was to increase his master's household. Even if he took that one talent to the bank and it drew interest, now his master has more than what he had before. You think about all of these small things that we ourselves can do, the things mentioned over in verses 35 through 40 that we just talked about. Again, some of the things we do may be very practical in nature and well within our abilities until we are able to build up more and more abilities, until we're able to do more and more for the kingdom, for our Lord and Savior. And for all of us, we should always strive to do more and more for the kingdom. We should strive to do more for the kingdom and to expand the kingdom. We should strive to seek and save and reach out to the lost out there and spread the gospel. This parable itself ends with this unfaithful servant being punished for his inactivity. He's being punished for not doing anything. Now, again, think about it. He might not have gone out with the intent to do anything wrong. And you think about us nowadays, we as Christians. Sometimes, you know, we might just come in, we might come in, sit in the pews, and we might not necessarily think that we're doing anything wrong. But again, you think about that great commission that Jesus provided to his disciples. He provided that to all of his disciples, not just some of them. He provided to every single one of us. It is each and every one of our responsibility to go out and to do our job to sow the seed, to further the kingdom. It's all of our responsibility. Now, whether or not we feel that we can do certain things or not, you know, again, you think about these little small things that Jesus mentioned over in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. You know, all of these small things that we may not even think second nature of. We don't think second about these things, but we can easily do them. Consider all the small things that require love, that require mercy, that we can do, that provide service to others, and again, bring honor to God. During his time on earth, Jesus was constantly helping those who were sick, both physically and spiritually. He was helping those in need. Consider the religious leaders of this time frame, those individuals who took great pride in distancing themselves from sin. But at the same time, these exact same individuals, the religious leaders of this time frame, who did nothing whatsoever in love, or who had no mercy whatsoever in terms of helping their fellow Jews, in terms of helping fellow sinners. While we should always strive to do more for the kingdom, keep in mind the small things certainly that we can do to bring honor to God and live up to our responsibilities as Christians. I want to turn over to Acts chapter 1, verse 9, and I want to end on this note here. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And certainly we know that Jesus served as a perfect example for each and every one of us to emulate. He served as a perfect example throughout his time here on this earth, sin-free. And he provided a model for us all to strive for. Let's consider what Acts chapter 1, verse 9 reads. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud receive him out of their sight. And I wanted to read about Jesus' ascension for one reason. Throughout his time here on this earth, again, keep in mind that Christ provided for us the perfect example. Throughout his time here on this earth, Jesus worked to the very end. He worked up until the point that he ascended into heaven. We all have a responsibility to him, to our master. We all have a responsibility, and certainly, as long as we have breath to work and the ability to work, we should be faithful to him and sowing the seeds. Certainly, thank you for your kind attention this morning. There might be an individual out here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel. We offer an invitation to you at this point. And I'll certainly pose this question for those of you outside the body of Christ. Ask yourself, what are you really waiting for? What are you waiting for? Knowing that tomorrow is not promised to any of us. If you are here this morning, and whether you want to obey the gospel today, if you're simply seeking a Bible study, whatever your need may be, we certainly stand ready to assist. Perhaps you find yourself as a Christian who has fallen away from the faith and you require the prayers of the saints. Whatever we can assist you with this morning, we ask that you come while we stand and sing.